Okay, today is the first of the month of Nisan, and the Rebbe wrote a letter to address to every Jew on the first of Nisan in 1981. And let's go right to it. Let's learn this letter. Baruch Hashem, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Tashmim Aleph, Brooklyn, New York. El Kol Bnei Bnei Yisrael Chol Mokum Shem Hashem Aleim Yichu. A letter addressed to the sons and daughters of Israel in every place that they are, wherever they are. God bless you all. Shalom Ubracha. Greetings and blessings. L'chol yoyim imei hashana yesh mashmois. Teichin v'leka mishalei. Every day of the year has meaning, has content, has a lesson of its own. Ach yeshnam yamim she'elahem yeshnam mashmois mi'chedes v'mino sh'maruim achshuvim akshurim behem. But there are some days that have a unique meaning because of important events that are connected with those days. Morning. These memories of these days strike, they resonate, and they give us instruction to every single person, every thinking person, until it actually brings them to action. Any thinking person just thinking about the events that happened on the anniversary of these days, this will inspire them to not just think about them, but to act. So the focus today is, today, the first of Nisan, what is this day about? In the note over here, he mentions how the Talmud says this day is crowned with 10 things. Rashi mentions there's 10 unique things that happened on this day. And Chassidus says that the month of Nisan, and the first day of the month of Nisan, is unique in that it is the beginning of Hashem governing the world in a miraculous way. There is a date which is associated with nature, as we learned last week, the first of Tishrei. And the date that is a source of miraculous behavior in the world is the first of this. And that's why the Arizal writes, as it says over here also in the note, that there are 12 combinations or 24 combinations of Hashem's name. And the month of Nisan has Hashem's name written in order, Yud and Ahe and Avav and Ahe, which highlights a greater kind of revelation, a straight, pure revelation without it being filtered. So the revelation of the essence of godliness in the month of Nisan, because the name of Hashem is written in order. So that's just the content that Nisan has spiritually, but we want to focus on the events that happened on this day and the message that these events have for us. Two major events happened on this day. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh v'aleim super pirit v'teresh v'alshav teresh v'alpeh v'yesu v'pirit v'archav v'teresh v'alpeh. They're written about in the written Torah and with more detail in the oral Torah. The first event is Amirishin Yisachash Kashin Yisrael Ayuhu B'golos Mitzrayim. The first event happened when the Jewish people were still in exile. On this day, they were commanded to create the Jewish calendar. Reishas kol mitzvah rishena, kishachish eisukil am Yisrael ka'am uvad vad miach lachon kein alachas karim pesach v'gachaga pesach in protein prati protein. They received, first of all, the first mitzvah on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. They were commanded to sanctify the month. This was the very first mitzvah we got as a people. And together with this, immediately following this mitzvah, Hashem continued and told us the mitzvah of the Paschal Lamb and the holiday of Pesach with the details and details of those details. So in great detail, we hear about the mitzvahs of the Paschal Lamb and the holiday of Pesach. But first of all, we're given the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctifying the new month, every month to the Jewish court is commanded to announce and to sanctify the new month. That's our first event. The first event is Hashem spoke to the Jewish people while they were in Egypt and gave them all these commandments. The second event, the second event happened in the very next Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the year after the first one. This occurred when the Jewish people were ready, fully free, in the full sense of the word. They were in a state of freedom, in a state of great light, next to Mount Sinai. On that day, in the first Nisan, the temple was erected with its full holiness and beauty. And they started doing all things that are associated with the tabernacle, especially, specifically, the 12 sacrifices that were offered by the 12 leaders of the Jewish people. First of all the 12 tribes came together and they brought the wagons to carry the tabernacle together with the cattle that they dedicated to pull those wagons. That happened the first in Nisan. After the first day of Nisan, when they donated the wagons and they donated the cattle to pull the wagons, then So each leader then brought a sacrifice representing his tribe. Although they all deserved to bring the sacrifice on the very first day, all of them were deserving. They're all in their spiritual caliber that they deserve to go first. They didn't bring them all on the same day, and they all brought a different sacrifice every day of the first 12 days of this. Gam yonim eila in mekesha kabbas mishkan mekesha la kabbas nesim sparan tevishol tachongdela keshebkachon geshes hashivusim. The Torah also speaks in great length about these events, the erection of the tabernacle, the sacrifices that were brought, and the fact that the Torah speaks at such length about this highlights how important this event was. So we have these two events. So the mitzvahs that Hashem gave the Jewish people in Egypt, and the erection of the tabernacle, and the dedication of the tabernacle that happened a year later. Shnei moras elu, these two events, lamei she'iru, although these two events happened in two different dates, in two different places, not only are they different, but they are diametrically opposed. One is, the first event was in a state where we were slaves, and the second event occurred when we were free. One occurred in Egypt, one occurred in Mount Sinai. So although they're very different events, nevertheless, they're connected very tightly, so that they actually become a sequence of, they're in one sequence of one trajectory. What's the inner thing that's going on over here? What's the link between these two events? Even while we were still slaves in Egypt, we received the power to be free, fully and truly free. How do we become that? How do we get that power? The Jewish people received the power to be fully and truly free by virtue through Hashem giving them the mitzvahs. How does a mitzvah give the Jewish people the ability to be free? Because a mitzvah forges an eternal bond between the Jewish people and Hashem. A unity that places Jewish people above all of the limitations and boundaries of the world, of the orders and the limitations of the world. So the connection begins by us doing mitzvahs. That's how we become free. But how do we actualize this this connection with Hashem? How do we bring this connection to Hashem to be in revealed within us? What makes us come out into the tangible reality? What makes us come out in the tangible reality is the commandment of Hashem, make me a sanctuary, and I'll dwell within them. There is a simple meaning of those words, and there's also the deeper meaning of those words. Simple meaning is build a sanctuary. Deeper meaning is that the Jewish people, and every single Jew, they create within themselves and within their surroundings, within their environment, within their atmosphere, within their neighborhood, they create a place for Hashem. So the divine presence rests within every Jewish heart and every Jewish home, even during the exile, even when the temple is not erected. Yet the Eibishter, Hashem's divine presence, still rests within the Jewish people, within every Jewish heart. So the connection is created through doing mitzvahs. What causes this connection to be manifest? Oh, that's what I wanted. That what causes it to be manifest in is the erection of the tabernacle, which means that every Jew is meant to create a home for Hashem in their heart. They make a tabernacle in their heart and their home. That's what causes this connection to be fully realized, to be fully expressed, to fully open and clear. So you hear the flow of these two events? We connect to Hashem, we're slaves. How do we become free? We latch on, we connect to Hashem through mitzvahs. And how does that connection become fully manifest in a tabernacle? Tabernacle is a place where God's presence is revealed. And so too, Hashem wants each of us to be that tabernacle, to be a place where His presence is revealed in us, in our hearts, in our homes. What is the lesson from the above for every Jew, man and woman, practically in their daily life? The lesson is, Kol Yehudi, every Jew, b'chol hazman v'chol makemus, in all times and all places, chai v'shori b'shnei matzav v'sha'esem maskalona, tarich v'shchei shnissen az zacheres. We are consistently living in these two circumstances that this date, the first and this one, reminds us of. We're consistently living in a state of slavery and in a state of freedom. Right? We said the first Rosh Chodesh Nissan, we were slaves. Hashem gave us the mitzvah that empowered us to become free, but we still were slaves. Then the next year, we were fully free and we had the temple and our souls are fully expressed and we have the divine presence resting within us. So we're constantly living with a dichotomy both those things are within us. How so? From the perspective, from the perspective of the soul, which is literally a part of Hashem, a Jew is always free and cannot be subservient to any person or to anything except for Hashem alone. And Hashem said about the Jewish people, they are my servants. They aren't servants of servants. And not only are we only servants of Hashem and no one else, but more, the Talmud says, the servant of the king, in one text says, the servant of the king is like the king. Another text says, the servant of the king is the king. So not only are we not subservient to anyone else, we're only subservient to Hashem alone, but that servitude to Hashem actually propels us from being a state of slavery to actually being one with the king. The servant of the king is like the king. The servant of the king is the king. So that's the perspective we have from our soul. Our soul is not under the jurisdiction of any person or anything, only to Hashem alone. However, from the perspective of the body, we are in a state of slavery. The body demands and forces us to take care of it, to feed it, to dress it. So this phenomena encumbers a person with a yoke of trying to get the means with which to sustain and to keep the body alive. He has to have the yoke of earning a livelihood because of the body's needs. In addition to the yoke of earning a living, besides that, there's also the yoke of the exile. That's also weighing on the body. In fact, the Jewish people are subservient to the nations of the world. So although we have one part of us which is completely free, another part of us which is enslaved, yet the soul and the body are not two different worlds that are separate from each other. They together create one world. They create the small world, which is man. Adam shalim leivufutzel mashusa. They create a full man, not a man who is split, who has a schism, who has a dichotomy. By a Jew, the soul and the body can live peacefully. They live in a harmonious life. How do we bring the body and the soul to live harmoniously? It's by the soul being dominant over the body. And by illuminating the body with mitzvahs and Torah, mitzvahs are called candles, Torah is called light. So by illuminating the body with the Torah and mitzvahs, to the extent that the body and the animal soul, they themselves on their own dedicate themselves with passion, with desire, with yearning to the soul. So by illuminating the body and the animal soul, that causes the body and the animal soul to want to have the soul dominate them. And they want this to serve the soul. So that the person reaches the fulfillment of the Torah's instruction, love Hashem with all your hearts, says hearts in the plural. What does hearts in the plural mean? With the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. So although the person has two parts, the soul and the body, and they seem to be very different from each other, however, a harmonious life is achievable, and it's not just achievable, that's what we're meant to do. We're supposed to be a whole person, not a split person, not a person who is has living with a schism and torn apart from these two different forces. Rather, we're meant to live as a whole person, and the way to achieve this is by the soul dominating the body. This is also one of the instructions that we get from the mitzvah of sanctifying the new month. The Torah says the Jewish people, they count their calendar according to the moon, and the Jewish people are similar to the moon. The moon has no light of its own. And all of its light comes from the sun. So the body of a Jew, in comparison to his soul, is like the moon. The moon only shines when the sun shines upon it. So Hechem mitzah kolos mitzah tzedakam yuchem mitzah kolam mitzah stereo tefila. The crime machine in mikdash maat v'chol zeb eifin shalmayim makeish house mahagdil ad shadavan mevi l'keit tzeif v'chayish ha'golos megi agut mitzvah shem and the binsin nigel nisin sinigal. So just like the moon receives its light from the sun, so too the body receives its light from the neshama. And just like the moon continuously grows in its light until the 15th of the month, and when its light is full, so too the light of every Jew grows. The light of all the Jewish people grow. The light of mitzvahs, the light of Torah grows. As Hashem instructed us, make for me a sanctuary and I'll dwell within them. And so we cause this light to grow by fulfilling this instruction. How do we fulfill this instruction? With the sacrifices the Jewish people bring. There are two kinds of sacrifices. Just like in the first day of Nisan, there were two kinds of offerings. There was the offering of the wagons and the cattle and the basins. And there was also the offerings of the sacrifices. So too, in the exile, these correspond to prayers and mitzvahs. Prayer corresponds to these sacrifices, and mitzvahs, especially tzedakah, corresponds to the gift of the wagons. The mitzvah tzedakah, in general, and especially tzedakah, given to institutions of Torah and prayer, which are called miniature sanctuaries. So the Jewish people are doing the same thing that their grandparents were doing, and they're causing more and more light to come to themselves and the world, by fulfilling Hashem's instruction to make a sanctuary, by doing these things, by giving tzedakah, by learning Torah, by davening. And the way they do this is in a way of constant ma'al makayish. Torah says you always have to ascend matters of holiness. So this ascent the Jewish people consistently have and adding more light, this brings to the end and the completion of the darkness of the exile. And brings us to the true and complete redemption. As the Torah promises us, in Nisan you were redeemed, and in Nisan you will be redeemed. V'yiratzin, may it be Hashem's will. Shekashem shahechel ma'ayem ishchesh Nisan mascha chedesh, shatera teres emes kersa chesh agula, kach yigul kol echav echav me'a kol advar mevalvum, mafriyim. From today and on, the Rebbe says, it should be Hashem's will that the Torah calls this month, the Torah of Truth calls this month the month of redemption. So from day and on, the Jewish people should be redeemed. Every single Jewish man and woman should be redeemed from all disturbances, all things that bother them. And then, when they're freed from all these disturbances, the Jewish people are able to be more active and ascend. As we just said, you're supposed to ascend in all matters. You're supposed to increase in all matters of holiness. With more dedication, with more animation, with more heartsakai, with more feeling, which also, when you do something with your full heart, it also makes you do it with more. You also do it more perfectly. The action is more perfect. Dibur machshava, not just our actions, but our words and our thoughts. If we're in a state of redemption without any disturbances, so this brings us to be able to dedicate ourselves more and to be more enthusiastic with our hearts, and this brings us to perfection in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts. V'zu mehava achana kreva l'kach shmechish agulo shal shanazu shnas hakel sa'am l'ashem v'nashem v'taf. End of the letter, the Rebbe references the unique year that the Rebbe gave this letter, the year of Hakel. This will bring us to see the fulfillment of the verse that Hashem will gather the Jewish people together, men, women, and children, and we see fulfillment of the other verse, which says, we are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. That right phrase, sheep of your pasture? Okay. We're the sheep of your pasture. We will thank you and praise you forever. For generation to generation, we will declare your praise. So this living in this vein that the Rebbe is saying we should, from today on, being freed from all these disturbances, dedicating ourselves more, this serves as a preparation to see the fulfillment of this gathering of the Jewish people and being able to praise Hashem on and up forever. And speedily in our days, literally, we should greet Mashiach Tzidkenu with a true and complete redemption. With honor and blessing, and to be successful in all the above, and with the blessing of a kosher and joyous Pesach and the Rebbe's signature. All right, so we got our marching orders. We got to learn a lesson from these two events. The event of Hashem giving us the first mitzvahs on this day, which will empower us to connect to Hashem and be free, and to bring this freedom into actualization, to be manifest by making ourselves a sanctuary for Hashem. And we have a special blessing today that we should do this with great animation and heartfelt and warmth, because Hashem redeems us from all disturbances.
In this matter, I'd like to make a public service announcement. If you want to do the blessing of the first fruits and the things, I have five trees.
Okay, fantastic.
So from like 5 o'clock to 6.